Welcome to episode 1347 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For many of us, this commandment was first learned as a warning about language, about not swearing, not using God's name casually, not invoking the divine in moments of anger or frustration. And this is true. Words matter. The first thing we learn about God is not what he looks like, but how he speaks. Genesis 1 verse 3 begins with, "And God said." Creation unfolds through speech. Light, land, life, and order come into being by God's word. This tells us that words are not decorative, they are generative. Reality itself responds to speech. Human flourishing begins in a world where words make worlds. And so God wants us to be careful about our speech, especially as it relates to him. But this commandment doesn't end there. It's not even the most significant aspect of the guideline. This commandment is not primarily about what we say. It is about what we carry. It is about how God's name is born, in our lives, in our communities, and especially in our prayers. And nowhere is the third commandment more vulnerable to distortion than in the place where God's name is spoken most often, prayer. The Hebrew verb translated take in this commandment is nasa. It means to lift, to carry, to bear. The commandment could just as faithfully be rendered like this: You shall not carry the name of the Lord your God in a false, empty, or hollow way. In other words, God's name is not merely spoken, it is born. Israel carried God's name as his covenant people. They represented him, his character, his justice, his mercy, before the watching world. Prayer, then, is not neutral speech. When we pray, we are bearing God's name back to God and shaping how that name is carried through our lives. This is why prayer is not merely a spiritual discipline. It is a moral act, a formational act, an act that either deepens integrity or slowly hollows it out. In most pagan systems, Mesopotamian, Egyptian, Canaanite, Greco-Roman, prayer was not mainly relational. It was instrumental. Prayer functioned in many ways. It was appeasement, calming unpredictable, even capricious gods. It was manipulation, persuading divine powers to act. It was offered for protection, seeking to ward off misfortune. It was a means of trying to assert control, securing fertility, victory, rain, health, and so much more. The goal was not communion with a god, but leverage over divine forces. Words mattered enormously, not because they revealed truth, but because they were believed to carry power in themselves. In pagan religions, knowing a god's name was considered a form of power. To speak a deity's name correctly activated the god, compelled that god to pay attention, and often obligated response. Prayers were often formulaic, repetitive, and exact, because effectiveness depended on precision, not sincerity. This is why magical texts, incantations, and spell prayers overlap so closely in pagan cultures. Note that there was a key contrast between pagan prayer and biblical prayer. For pagans, the focus was, say the right words to get the right outcome. For God's people, the call was, and is, to speak truthfully to the right God. In pagan systems, prayer was usually offered before images. Statues were thought to house divine presence. Rituals were undertaken to activate the god in the image. Prayers were addressed to localized, controllable deities. The image made the god available, manageable, and predictable. This was the kind of religious system that the people in Israel's day understood. Add prayer to a ritual to an image, and all of this formed a closed system of religious control. Against this background, the third commandment is revolutionary.
Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
God is saying, "My name is not a spell. My name is not a tool. My name is not leverage. My name is not detachable from my character." This commandment breaks pagan prayer logic at its core. You cannot invoke God to guarantee outcomes. Use his name to sanctify injustice. Treat prayer as a religious mechanism. Pagan prayer and biblical prayer operate on fundamentally different assumptions about the nature of the divine. In pagan religions, prayer is primarily transactional. The gods are powerful but unreliable, and prayer functions as a mechanism for managing that unpredictability. If the worshiper offers the correct words, rituals, sacrifices, or repetitions, the god may be compelled to act. The focus is not on relationship or truth, but on effectiveness. Words matter because they are believed to work, not because they are honest or faithful. Biblical prayer rejects this logic at its root. Prayer is not a technique for controlling outcomes, but a practice of alignment with reality as God defines it. God is not activated by precision, impressed by volume, or obligated by formulas. Instead, prayer assumes a God who is already attentive, already faithful, already committed to his covenant purposes. Words matter not because they manipulate God, but because they shape the one who prays. This is why Scripture consistently links prayer to humility, repentance, and trust, rather than performance or certainty. Seen this way, the third commandment becomes a boundary that preserves prayer from collapsing into paganism. By forbidding the misuse of God's name, the commandment prevents prayer from becoming mechanical or coercive. It insists that prayer must remain truthful speech before a truthful God, not religious technology designed to secure desired results. The prophets of Israel are relentless in their critique of prayer that mimics pagan patterns. Again and again, they confront a people who pray confidently, frequently, and publicly, yet whose lives contradict the character of the God they invoke. This is not a rejection of prayer itself, but a rejection of prayer that has been severed from justice, faithfulness, and obedience. When prayer becomes detached from moral reality, it becomes hollow and therefore a violation of the third commandment. In passages like Isaiah 1 verses 5 to 17 and Jeremiah 7, God refuses to listen not because he is distant, but because his name is being used falsely. The people invoke God's presence while ignoring God's ways. They speak the language of covenant while practicing exploitation and violence. In effect, prayer becomes a religious shield language meant to protect the worshiper from accountability, rather than draw them into transformation. This prophetic critique shows us that vain prayer is not casual prayer, but prayer without consequence. It is prayer that does not require repentance, does not reshape behavior, and does not lead to justice. The third commandment stands behind these rebukes as a reminder that to speak God's name is to accept responsibility for living in a way that reflects his character. Prayer that refuses this responsibility empties God's name of meaning. Pagan prayer systems ultimately place a heavy burden on human beings. Because divine favor depends on saying the right words, performing the right rituals, or pleasing the right gods, worshipers live with constant anxiety. There is always the fear of having misspoken, neglected a detail, or offended a deity unknowingly. Prayer becomes exhausting rather than life-giving, and religion becomes a source of fear rather than peace. The third commandment protects Israel, and later the church, from this spiritual weight. By insisting that God's name cannot be used as a tool, Scripture frees people from the pressure to manage the divine. God is not capricious, not manipulable, not easily offended by mistakes in phrasing. Instead, God desires truthfulness, humility, and trust. This reorientation allows prayer to become a place of rest rather than anxiety, a space where human beings can be honest rather than performative. This is why the third commandment is so deeply connected to human flourishing. It guards prayer from becoming a burden and preserves it as a gift. When prayer is rooted in trust rather than fear, people are liberated to live coherently, courageously, and peacefully. Flourishing grows where prayer is truthful, and God's name is honored with integrity rather than used as leverage. Taken together, the third commandment calls us to recover prayer as an act of truth, not technique, an encounter marked by reverence, integrity, and trust, rather than control or performance. God forbids the misuse of his name, not because he is fragile, but because our lives and our prayers are meant to tell the truth about who he is. And hollow prayer always distorts both God's character and our humanity. When we stop treating prayer as leverage and begin to see it as the faithful bearing of God's name, spoken honestly, lived consistently, and offered humbly, prayer becomes what it was always meant to be. A place of rest instead of anxiety, transformation instead of pretense, and flourishing instead of fear. Father, we come before you acknowledging that your name is holy, weighty, and good. And we confess that we have sometimes spoken it without living in alignment with your character. Teach us to pray truthfully, to carry your name with humility, integrity, and trust, rather than using it to secure outcomes or protect ourselves. May our prayers and our lives tell the same story about you, so that your name is honored in us and through us. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,